Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of the Voice Inspire American Soccer Show. Of course, the New York Red Bulls playing last night on ESPN2 down in Philadelphia, Chester area, losing to the Philadelphia Union by a final of 3-1. Philadelphia getting on the board early again in the eighth minute as we saw some pretty interesting moves there by Connor Casey, who converted, and of course they got one early in the second half and then pulled one back by Bradley Wright Phillips, who continues to be red hot scoring goals, and then of course a penalty called on Eric Alexander and Sebastian Letou converting to make it 3-1. Now, this is a short show, so we're just going to get to it right away, and we're not going to mess around here. Matt Miazga is responsible for both goals being allowed. There's no two ways about it. There is definitely a lot of talent in this kid, a local in New Jersey, who is basically going to probably be a stud in the future, but as of right now, he did not look solid against Philadelphia, allowing not only a dangerous man like Connor Casey to score a goal, but overdoing things by allowing Fred the space that he got, and someone had to compensate or at least try to cover for him, and they just couldn't get to Fred, and it was an easy goal again that made it 2-0. The back line at the moment is a concern because all of a sudden now Mike Petke has decided to allow these kids to play regularly with Jaimison Olave as the main veteran leading this back line. Now, once again, I don't think there's a problem with Oyongo because he looked fantastic so far going up and down the left side. I think Chris Duvall is looking a lot better since his little hiccups. But now it's Matt Miazga's turn to learn from his mistakes. And at the moment, he made two bad mistakes. He gave too much room to Connor Casey, and when he did challenge Casey, Casey took advantage of it like a veteran should, faked him out, and ripped it and scored. That's what he should have done. And then, early in the second half, around, I think, the 50th minute, I need to double-check when that goal was scored by Fred as he subbed into the match last night, but I do believe it was early in the second half of the match that Miazga came out of nowhere, decided to challenge the ball up front, 51st minute. It was that's the time of the goal by Fred. He decided to challenge Fred Miazga, and he left his area where he shouldn't have gone up that – he shouldn't have gone that far up. Should never have gone that far up, and then Fred faked him out. Miazga fell down on his own, got faked out by Fred, and Fred had an easy lane to return – to get a return ball as he gave it to one of his midfielders. So right there and then, Matt Miazga has shown some – rookie nerves. Now, we all knew that there was going to be some problems here when Mike Petke went to the young kids. And right now, after a great game against New England, that jinx, Miazga of recent time now is showing some cracks. And once again, he's a rookie. And I understand he was signed as a pro last year, but did he play regularly? He did not. He only came on to get a couple of minutes here and there as a backup whenever the game was out of reach. To me, that's not being a pro. That's still being a rookie. And now, officially, in his rookie season, Matt Miazga is showing some cracks at the moment. Now, are they correctable? Yes, they are. They are correctable. But as of right now, I would have to say Miazga needs to look at the bench right now. A big, important 3 points here at home against San Jose. And then, of course, we'll have the friendly next Saturday against Arsenal, and then they're going to go on the road to Salt Lake City to play Real Salt Lake. I know that people are not going to be happy when I say this, that Armando might need some time here to play some games because of the way that he's been challenging the opposition's forwards and midfielders. But you know what, though? Who else are you going to have up there, you know, at center back to basically pair with Olave? I mean, the choices are not good right now. It's either Armando or it's going to be Ibrahim Sagaia. And I know Sagaia is a little older, but still, though, the thing is this. What are you going to do? Because at the moment, Matt Miazga is leaking goals. At the moment, he's the crack in the back line wall. And more opposition strikers are going to take advantage of it. Now, if Pecky decides to throw him back out there and to give him the opportunity again, then it might happen. But all I can say is right now is that Matt Miazga is a leaky section of the back line wall. And he knows it. He knows he needs to learn more. Good on Thierry Henry talking with both Miazga and Ayungo when it comes to these young rookies, these young players trying to make a name for themselves. Ayungo so far has done a wonderful job bringing the ball up and crossing it, setting up plays. He has been sensational, and 3 assists already by Ayungo, who has been marvelous, absolutely marvelous. To be honest with you, I think Ayungo has done a better job at the moment than Miazga has, because Miazga so far has been the cause of at least 3 goals in the last 2 games. And it's really funny because certain people were saying Ayungo is not ready. Well, how do you know? You don't know that. Ayungo looks to be more ready than you think he has. But that's the situation. And the other part of this problem of yesterday's game, midfield looked terrible. Now, I understand Dax McCarty is just coming back from the microfracture surgery on his right knee. And, yeah, he's going to be a bit rusty. We all knew he was going to be a bit rusty. But, unfortunately, midfield did not look cohesive enough to bring the ball up. And then, of course, now we're finding out that his post-match remarks from head coach Mike Pecky is that the team is tired, that the team is fatigued. And some are calling it a lame excuse. I have to say this as well. I think it is also a lame excuse, because while I understand that the MLS scheduling situation is not great, the truth of the matter is this. You have to play towards what the schedule dictates. And let's be honest, you need to find a way to get everyone in a rotation and to make sure no one is fatigued. I understand that this is not the Premier League. I understand this is not La Liga, where you have a roster that you can just go ahead and, you know, rotate here and there, anything and everything going on. You know, this is MLS, and I understand that. And is that an excuse? No, it's just a fact. But still, if Mike Pecky, and I know how precious points are, he's going to have to start juggling his roster and his starters very shortly, because not only is he going to finish up and try and remain in a playoff position for MLS Cup, but CONCACAF Champions League group stage games are coming up very quickly. Club Deportivo FAS is coming very soon at the end of next month. Club Deportivo FAS is coming up very quickly. Now, Obviously, there'll be a weekend where the club will not be playing. So maybe that's a positive right there to give a break. But all I can say is that it's just not possible. It's just not possible at all. And all I can say is it can't do it. Cannot give these types of excuses anymore. Cannot give these types of excuses anymore. And it's just a situation where Mike's going to have to make something better, because fatigue in this type of position in the scheduling, it's just not good enough. Just not good enough at all. And I think he needs to have a better reason and a better knowing of why. So all I can say is this. Mike, as much as I do respect you and as much as I think you are the coach of this team, that is not the best excuse that you should give of the reason why that you, your side allowed a team like Philadelphia, who has not been great at home at all, who had a 3-1 lead against Colorado and then lost 2 points by letting the Rapids tie 3-3. At least you should have tied this game. This game should have been at least a draw. We'll get to the other part of the problems, but let's be honest with ourselves here. This is not fatigue. They looked disorganized after the first Philadelphia goal went in. The back line is young, raw. There are some positives. There are some negatives. But the truth of the matter is at least a point should have been taken last night. That's the truth. A point should have at least been taken last night, and it didn't. And unfortunately, you went home nothing. All I can say is this, is that when this game comes up on Saturday and you've got two goal poachers in Steven Lenhart and Chris Wondolowski ready to eat up a young back line that they will love to take advantage of, and it will happen, that could be 3 points to the road team. Now, fortunately enough, the loss still gives the Red Bulls a 1-point lead over the Philadelphia Union, as they are remaining in the fifth place position of the Eastern Conference. Plenty of games left against DC United, Sporting Kansas City. They still have a home game against New England, one game against Toronto, one more road game at Philadelphia. They have one more home game against Chicago, one more home game against Houston, one more home game against Montreal in the league season, and, of course, one more road game at Chicago. The East is still up for grabs. That's right. The Eastern Conference is still up for grabs. So as of right now, the Red Bulls, I wouldn't say they're treading water, but they're still afloat, because the East is really that bad. Meanwhile, you look at the West and Seattle is dominating, and it looks like they're going to get back to the CONCACAF Champions League, one way or the other. So we'll have to wait and see what the Red Bulls do here. Now, I have to say that the other half of this game where it went against the Red Bulls, and I'm going to be very clear, it's more to blame the midfield and the back line in Miazga for this loss. But once again, referee Baldomero Toledo finds a way to prevent the Red Bulls from trying to level the match. Now, let's be fair here. The offside was not his fault. He had to call it because the assistant raised the flag on the far side. After Bradley Wright Phillips converts his 16th of the season, He should have had number 17 in the back of the net, and it should have been 2-2. Offside flag comes up, and you know what? It's the wrong call. There was no arm half ahead. No, he looked half ahead of the defender. No. Bradley Wright Phillips was onside, and he should have had the goal to make it 2-2. Bad job by the official once again. Bad job by this officiating crew. They just don't want to have the understanding of what an offside really looks like. And once again, the penalty that was given to Philadelphia, the penalty that was given to Philadelphia was the wrong call, because that should have been let go. Maurice Edu was grabbing Eric Alexander, and then Eric Alexander grabbed Edu. Now, what did you see? Did you see a tug? Did you see a hold? Did you see Alexander twisting Edu's arm? No, you did not. What you saw was Maurice Edu, knowing he was being grabbed, deciding to jump up and make a turn to say, hey, he's twisting my arm. And then the penalty gets called against the Red Bulls. Once again, Maurice Edu grabbed Alexander first. And then Alexander grabbed Edu. And then the little turn, the pirouette, then the referee's whistle. Baldomero Toledo, once again, is a horrible official. He is anti-New York. He is anti-New York Red Bulls when they were even back as the Metro Stars. This man who gave Lloyd Sam last year a red card where Danny Cruz slid into Lloyd Sam's boots where the studs were showing, because Lloyd Sam was trying to stop himself from that challenge by Danny Cruz, who slid into his studs. I understand that studs were showing, but he's trying to stop himself. Remember, same time on ESPN, Taylor Twellman saying, well, that was a clumsy challenge. Yeah, it was a clumsy challenge because Danny Cruz challenged into Lloyd Sam, because Lloyd Sam was trying to stop himself. Was it clumsy? Was it strange? Yeah, of course it was strange. He's trying to stop himself. I mean, what do you want him to do? Sometimes the aggressor is not the gentleman or the player who has his stud showing, because he's not trying to stop Danny Cruz like that. Danny Cruz slid into Lloyd Sam. And now once again, they get a penalty against, because Baldomero Toledo decides to say Alexander did more grabbing than Maurice Edu did. No, that should have been let go. Both men are grabbing each other. For therefore, that penalty call should never have been given. That penalty call should have been not even bothered with. Because, once again, both men are grabbing each other. Both men are trying to get to the ball to either clear it away from the net or create a play towards the net. And once again, Baldomero Toledo does not know the laws of the game. And this is why I keep screaming and keep complaining and keep saying Baldomero Toledo is one of the worst referees in Major League Soccer within U.S. Soccer. The man has an intentional vendetta against the New York Red Bulls. There may be games where he has officiated where he's probably done a good job, and that's a rarity, a real rarity. But the truth is that he is a terrible official, and he has a personal vendetta against the Red Bulls, and he should not be officiating any of these games involving New York Red Bull games at all. And that's all I can say. Other than that, this was a real team loss by the Red Bulls, as once again, the midfield was not cohesive, and Matt Miazga keeps allowing the opposition to score goals. The start, to be fair, was good. The start of the match was good. The start of the match I had no problems with. Matt Miazga, sadly, unfortunately, put himself in the position where he gave too much room, too much respect, too much space to Connor Casey. And like any good striker, you make a quick move, you fake him out, the defender, and then you punish the opposition by putting it into the back of the net. That's the truth. That's what it should have been. And Connor Casey did the right thing. That's all you can really say. But once again, shoddy officiating allows the Red Bulls to not equalize the game. That's all I can say. Because it should have been 2-2. Bradley Wright Phillips, once again, my God, Bradley Wright Phillips. What more can we say about him? 4 goals away from number 20. Should have been 3 goals away from number 20, but once again, we've already covered that. But let me tell you this right now. Bradley Wright Phillips is on fire. Oh, boy, I'm telling you. This attack from the Red Bulls on offense is doing a great job. It's the back line, and the defense, unfortunately, has been suspect at the start of the season. And everyone is wondering, you know, should they have kept Marcus Holgersen? He had one more year left on his contract. Shouldn't they have kept him? You know, there are times you're thinking to yourself, if there is a better player coming in that might be better than what you have, obviously you have to go get it. But unfortunately, hindsight is 20/20, and I just think that was a bad move by both Andy Roxburgh and Mike Petke. I think Holgersen should have remained here because he definitely would have helped big time. Not only can he go down the right flank, but at the same time, he can be in the middle of the field whenever you need him. So for Marcus Holgersen, I will say at the moment, I will put that against the front office, against Andy Roxburgh. Mike Petke's decision to play the kids because Kimura hasn't been doing well. Armando keeps getting himself into trouble with the league with some of these terrible challenges. Sakaya, maybe he'll be more of a defensive midfielder when he gives Dax a break. I can say that so far for Mike Petke, 2 out of 3 ain't bad right now with Duvall and Oyongo. Even with Miazga, I will say that's 1-4 Petke in the front office. I think that's a solid move. Does it need fixing? Yes. That's the truth. I think the back line so far has been okay. Needs to be better, obviously. Needs to be a lot better. But for the Red Bulls right now, they're going to need a little more seasoning on that back line, and hopefully Olave will be the gentleman to help out. The attack has been pretty good. And hopefully we'll see what happens when they host the San Jose Earthquakes. Now, if you haven't seen the report from MLS, if you haven't seen the report about the Bernardo Anor red card being rescinded, Major League Soccer decided to rescind that red card on Bernardo Anor. Now, if you saw the play, it was Chris Duvall who got tripped up by Tony Chani. And then when the play was blown dead, Anor kicked the ball, not very hard, very softly. He just kicked the ball, and it hit Chris Duvall while he was fouled and taken down. And you know what? I like to say that's the wrong call by the MLS Disciplinary Committee. Because whether or not we saw second yellow, that was the right call. That's a red card. What you're saying is because of what Juninho did to Jimmy Nielsen last year, the half-powered chip at Jimmy Nielsen's shoulder, where he got... Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. One of the rare times my Skype fails me. Never thought that happened again. I thought everything was all okay and dandy. But anyway, as I was trying to say, you know, when Juninho last year shot the ball half hard shot at Jimmy Nielsen's right shoulder and Nielsen makes a meal out of it, you know, he gets sent off. I mean, you know, that's not accidental by Anor. That was frustration. And even though he didn't hit him hard, Duval, that's still enough in my book to say, hey, red card. Or if you want to say second yellow, then red, that's fine too. Why is Major League Soccer all of a sudden rescinding the red card? Because the shot at Duval on the ground was not hard enough? The intent was still there. Isn't that why you supposed to book somebody or send someone off on their intent? Oh, but it wasn't that hard. Oh, you know, it was, you know, it's an accident. We're going to say, you know, you're not suspended for the next game, Columbus and Noir. Major League Soccer is starting to act like, well, we're going to keep the bookings and the sendings off on the Red Bulls, but if anyone does something like that against them, we will rescind the card. And this is why many fans of the New York Red Bulls, many supporters of the New York Red Bulls, keep looking at Major League Soccer and saying MLS hates the Red Bulls. Because you decided, because it wasn't hit hard enough, that the red card is going to be rescinded on Anor. That is incorrect. That is the wrong precedent to send. And if we're really going to start doing this stuff, maybe we should take a look at some of these challenges that the Red Bulls got sent off on or booked and just say, hey, you know, what happened there? That wasn't so hard. That wasn't a hard challenge, yet you sent them off? I mean, we can go back to cards where Todd Ramos, when he was playing for the Metro Stars in Chicago, was trying to take a free kick, and he gets harassed by Jim Curtin or Dima Kovalenko back in the day. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's like, get away from me. I'm trying to take this free kick here. And then all of a sudden you saw Brian Hall back in the day give Tab Ramos a red card because of that little kick away, get away from me. Tab Ramos got sent off for trying to take a free kick where he got harassed. I mean, is that what we're going to do now? I don't know. I don't know anymore what's going on with the league. I don't know how they're going to be doing with red cards, yellow cards, or whatever it is. But the truth of the matter is this. The league is a joke. The officiating has been a joke. And the only saving grace the league has for officials being solid is Mark Geiger, because Mark Geiger is a real referee in this league. Toledo is a joke. Well, that's the end of this midweek show, this recap show from the Red Bulls road game at Philadelphia. Join me this Tuesday to get ready for some more action on the 40 Cents Fire American Soccer Show. As always, enjoy your football. Thank you very much, and I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, guys. Talk to you later. Bye-bye for now.